Today's Shi'ez Masechta Nedarim Davav. We will begin on Davav Amar Aleph, the second line, Meisvei. In our previous Shi'er, we had a machlokes, certainly a machlokes of Abaye and Rava. What is the status of Yudayim Shenim Mechitzas? We had learned, Baruch Hashem, in the Mishnah, that Yudayim are a legitimate way of expressing a nether. But we had a discussion, what is the halacha regarding Yadayim Shenem Chichas. Rav's opinion was that Yadayim Shenem Chichas, lo havin Yadayim, if it's not very clear from the nether what was the intention of the person who's making the nether, then the nether is not considered a valid nether. And Rav's opinion was that Yadayim Shenem, Rai's opinion was Yadayim Shenem Chichas, are Yadayim are valid. Ask the Gemara on Abaye's opinion that says that any yadayim shenem mechichas lo havin yadayim meisvei, says the Gemara, the Braisa says, harei hu olai, if somebody had a loaf of bread in front of them and he said harei hu olai, or he said harei ze olai, asur, that bread is asur to him, it's considered a valid nether, neyad lekarbon, because since saying ze harei ze olai is very similar to way somebody would designate a carbon. And as we discussed in the first shiur, Amasach Nedarim, making a nether is very similar to designating something as a carbon. So since this would be a valid way of designating something for a carbon, it's also a valid way of making a nether. But the reason is, says the Maratam Damalai, only because he used this wording, which is very similar, as we just explained, to the way carbon is made. Tam dam alai hu da'asar. Aval loy amar alai. Had he not used that wording, loy, he wouldn't be asar. Why? It's certainly in the category of yadayim shenem mechichas. If you have a loaf of bread in front of you, and you say harei ze alai, isn't that quite obvious that that's what you mean to make it? And still, Bryce says that it's not a valid way of identifying a nether. Tiyufta dabaya. Isn't this considered, obviously, a refutation of Abaye's opinion? Amalach Abaye, so Abaye responds, Tam da amma alai hu da asr. Let's understand that Bryce again. The Bryce said, and as we learned, because he said hareza alai, that's why it's asr. If he would have just said the words harehu without adding the word alai, we could explain that what he means to say harehu the hefker. Maybe he meant that it's hefker. Harehu the stoka kamer. Maybe he meant to say that it's stoka. And in other words, even if we explained in the previous year, that even Abaye, who holds Yadayim Shenem Mechichas, having Yadayim, it still has to point in that direction. If it doesn't point in that direction, we explain that even Abaye would agree that it's not a carbon. It's not a valid way of expressing oneself. And I saw that the Shita adds to explaining this Gemara. The Shita adds, because if you think about it, that when you have such a statement of Harei Hu, it may make more sense to indeed say what he meant was hefker, was indeed meant that was he meant that should be considered stoka. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that it's really not something that we could understand, nor simply explain. And since it's not something we could understand or simply explain, that's why everybody would agree that it's not considered a valid way of expressing a nether. But if it was said in a way, even though, as we've been explaining in our shiurim, where it's not that clear, it's yadayim shenem mechichas, but it clearly points in a certain direction, then it would be considered a nether. But as the Gemara, that isn't what the Braisa said. Let's read the Braisa. The Braisa said that when you said harehu alai, it's going to be considered a valid nether. And the Braisa didn't say it because it's expressive enough, it's clear enough. The Bryce is saying that since, as we said before, when you use the word alai, it's the type of wording that's used when you donate a carbon. That's what was meant when he said haray is alai, that he meant that it should be a nether, because a nether and carbon, as we said earlier in our shir, travel together. So that's the reason. It's not because haray is alai is clear, and haray Zhu is not clear. It's not an issue of clarity that we should say, well, if it's Yadayim Shein Mechichas that's somewhat clear, it's a nether. And when it's Yadayim Shein Mechichas that are totally unclear, it's not a nether. But so clearly, Abai is trying, the Gemara, the way it's trying to explain this brisa that it could be consistent with Abai is not working. Aleima, this is the way to understand the brisa. Tam Dam Alai, who are if I said the word a lie, that's why if the nether was expressed that way, but the deek is entirely a different deek. That's when only the person who said a lie would not be allowed to have benefit from it. Anyone else would. Aval amarehu, not to mean that it wouldn't be a nether. It would be a nether, even though it's Yadayim Shein Mechichas. Because Abai's opinion is that Yadayim Shein Mechichas haven't Yadayim. The difference would be if you didn't add the word a lie, then it would be shnei masurim. When you said a lie, you were limiting it to yourself. When you don't use the word a lie, the whole world. He meant to say that it should be considered like hegdish, and since it's considered like hegdish, therefore halach is hegdish is also to everyone else. So Baruch Hashem, what Abai has been able to accomplish in our shir is take a brisa that seems to be a proof that he is incorrect, take a brisa that seems to say that Yadayim Shein Mechichas Lahav and Yadayim, and defend himself. Meisvei, says the Gemara, a different question. Let's say there was an animal, Harei Zuchatis, and somebody says Harei Zuchatis, or somebody says Harei Zu Oshem, Av Pishu Chayiv Chatis Vich Oshem, even though this is an individual whose Chayiv it's not a meaningful way of designating this animal as a carbon. Because Harei Zu is the way you designate something as an adava. And as we've spoken in previous shiurim, a carbon osham and a carbon chatos cannot be brought by an adava. Carbon chatos, carbon osham can only be brought if you're obligated to bring that carbon. And therefore, when using a wording which indicates a nedava, it can't be used to express something that you're mechuyev to bring. And the Rosh makes a very interesting point. We know that when we speak about the carbon asham, there's the carbon asham vaday, which is brought as when the Torah prescribes one is obligated to bring a carbon asham. The carbon asham is a carbon, like the carbon chatas, that one can't bring by nedava, that you can't just bring because you want to donate it. But an Oshem Talui is a carbon that you can bring as an Adava. And the Kef for the Gemara's, says the Rosh, is talking about an Oshem Vadeh, not an Oshem Talui. If somebody said, Harei Zu Chatasi, Harei Zu Hashami, so he's indicating that this is the carbon that I'm obligated to bring, and he is indeed a person that's obligated to bring that type of a carbon, then the halach is Dvarim Kayomim. But isn't this Tiyufta Dabaya? Because if Abaya's opinion is Yadayim Shein Mechichas Havin Yadayim, why is Harei Zu Chatos and Harei Zu Osham not enough of a way of expressing your obligation? If we're going to say that you have to have Yadayim Mechichas, like Rava says, so then we could understand this piece of Gemara. But if we're going to, because it's Yadayim Shein Mechichas for carbon, that it's not the wording that's used for carbon that you're obligated to bring. But Abaya is not doesn't really require such a strong language. So why is this inadequate? So the Karen Oira asks a fundamental question, which is relevant to many of the sugis that we're going to learn. Even though one of the fundamental halachas, as we have already learned in Masech Nedarim, is that you have to express your nether properly, and if you don't express your nether properly, there's a real question if your nether is a nether. But by stoka, by kachim, you don't have to have that you should express it. If somebody mentally accepts upon himself an obligation, it's a nether. So why is this a discussion? Even if he didn't say it properly, but if he said it, he obviously thought it. And since he said it, and if he thought it, he should be mechuyev already. So the Karen Iris says a very important teretz. The Karen Iris says that absolutely, if somebody's mechuyev, if somebody mentally, in his heart and his mind, accepts upon himself a carbon, the halach is that is going to obligate him to bring the carbon. But if the person accepted that upon himself in his mind, but he decided that the way he's going to make this obligation is by verbalizing it. So if he had not decided to verbalize it, then you don't have to verbalize it. And it will become an obligation even if you didn't verbalize it. But in a case where you decided to verbalize it, then saying it, you have to say it right. In other words, you don't have to say it. But if you're going to say it, you have to say it correctly. So Rashi here in Divrei Maskil, Divrei Dvarav Kayomim, makes a very interesting statement. He says, "Im amar rezu alai chatas," if somebody says this animal should be a carbon chatas, "afgav d'loy mechuyev chatas," says Rashi, even though he wasn't mechuyev in a carbon chatas, "dvarav kayomim." And everybody asks, as we already said a few moments ago, that carbon chatas is the kind of carbon that you could only bring if you're obligated to bring that carbon. So how could Rashi suggest that even if you're not obligated to bring it, if you say it in a way which is very clear that you're accepting upon yourself, you're chayiv? So the Shar HaMelech says a very interesting teretz. He says that even though you would not be able to bring that, and you would not be able to bring that carbon, because as we keep on repeating, you can't bring a carbon chatos unless you're obligated to bring a carbon chatos. A carbon chatos cannot be brought by the davar. As somebody would bring a carbon chatos in such a fashion, it would be considered as if he brought chulun ba'azara. But says the Shar HaMelech, it's a kind of a carbon chatos that you would the animal would have on it a kedusha of a carbon chatos. It would have on it the kedusha of a carbon chatos, but it would not be an animal that could be brought as a carbon chatos. So the Achrayim ask very often in Shas, the Gemara speaks about the carbon chatos amesis, animals that are carbon chatos but cannot be brought as a carbon chatos. But according to the Shar HaMelech, we now have another case of such a carbon, where you designated an animal as a carbon chatos, and the way we're learning now, the Shar HaMelech is explaining to us, the designation is considered valid, but you can't just bring it. So why isn't that always included in the list of chamish chatos hameses? So the Shar HaMelech himself answers to that question, that even it ought to be in that list, but if you think about the list of chamish chatos hameses, all of them started in a situation where you were obligated to bring the carbon chatos. This is a situation where you began where you weren't obligated to bring the carbon chatos. Since you weren't obligated to bring that carbon chatos, that's why it's not included in the list. But going back to our Gemara, we clearly have identified a brisa that says, not like Abaya, that seems to clearly indicate that Yadayim Shenem Mechichas, lo havin Yadayim. Because if it would be, why is the individual who's Mechuyev HaKarm Chatas, who Mechuyev HaKarm Asham, and said, Harezu Chatas and Harezu Asham, why would that not be considered a valid designation? Amlech Abaya, Hamani Rabbi Yehudahi. Says the Gemara, in the previous year, the Gemara wanted to connect the machloikas that we are speaking about, the machloikas of Bayer and Rava, regarding Yadayim Shenem Mechichas, having Yadayim, or not having Yadayim, to the machloikas of Yehudim Rabbanon, and the wording of a get. Would Rabbanon required less detailed wording, And Rabbi Yehuda required more detailed wording. So says Abaya, my opinion certainly is inconsistent with Rabbi Yehuda. And that Braisa will follow the opinion of Yehuda. Amul Chabaya, Hamani, who's the Tan of that Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, and I follow the opinion of the Rabbanim. Ask the Gemara, Vaha, but at the end of our shiur yesterday, we said, Abaya Udama, not Amri Fila Rabbi Yehuda, that my opinion could be consistent with Rabbi Yehuda. And the reason Abaya said at the end of our previous shiur why his opinion could be consistent with Rabbi Yehuda is because even though Abaya holds Yudayim Sheinah Mechichis having Yudayim, but since the Torah keeps on saying when we speak about a get, the word creases, the get has to be a way to completely separate the husband from the wife. So that's why we need a strong language. But that isn't a halacha for everyone else. But we said, so that means Abaya was able to be consistent with Rabbi Yehuda. And now we're saying that Abaya and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion can't be consistent. Says the Gemara, Hadabay. Abaya changed his mind. Elalema Ravatam Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the case, should we go back to what we suggested in the previous year and say that Abaya holds like the Rabbanon way they described a get should be written, and Rav is going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda the way Rabbi Yehuda said a get has to be written? Says the Gemara, Amalach Rava, Anadam Refila Rabbanon. Abaya, yes. Abaya is going to have to say that my opinion is only consistent with the opinion of the Rabbanon. But Rava is going to say, Anadam Refila Rabbanon. My opinion can be consistent even with the Rabbanon. Because at Kamal Kam Rabbanon, Dolabini Yadayim Mechichis, where is there halacha that you don't need to have Yadayim Mechichis, El Gabaget? By get, as we learned at the end of yesterday's shiur, there's a special svara, it was said on the top of this amid. That's why the Rabbanan said, even not such a strong language, is obvious that I mean to divorce her. Who else are you divorcing? And that's why they don't require such a strong language. Ava ba'alma, even the Rabbanan will agree that be'inon yadai mechichas, they'll agree that you have to have yadai mechichas. There's a very interesting question. Here we're speaking about the clarity of a get. What about the clarity of Kedushin? So the Gemara Masechta Kedushin, Daf Hei Amud Beis, says that Shmuel says that if in a Kedushin, if a man gives a woman money or a ring and says, Hare Atm Kedushis, but doesn't say the word Li, Hare Atm Kedushis Li, the halacha is that it's not a valid Kedushin. Just because he gave the ring, it's not clear that he meant to be Mekadosh that woman to himself. Because maybe, as the Gemara over there explains, what he meant to do was just act as a shliach on behalf of somebody else. Says the Avni Meluim, that indeed the Gemara over there says that if somebody just gives a ring or a shtar to a woman, it's not a clear indication that this should be a valid Kedushin. But let's say this couple were already engaged. And now he gives her a ring, or he gives her the shtar, and he says, Arei at Mekudeshes. Even if you don't have the word li, it's still certainly going to be considered Yadayim Mechichas. You have them as a couple, they're already engaged. And besides that they're already engaged, he's giving her the ring, and he says, Arei at Mekudeshes. Clearly, says the Avni Meluim, that even Rava will hold that that's considered Yadayim Mechichas and it would be a valid Kedushin. However, the Marit disagrees. And the Marit says, even though the Svara of the Avni Meluim is a very, very good Svara, but says the Avni Meluim, that this Svara that the Avni Meluim is setting forth is only going to be a good Svara to the person who knows that this couple is engaged. But the individual who does not know that this couple is engaged, so to him, saying Hareat Mekudeshes without the li, even though he's giving her the ring or giving her the shtar, it's inadequate. And says the Marit, in order for it to be considered strong enough, it has to be strong enough that everybody who sees what's happening here will realize that it should be a marriage. And the people who don't know that they're engaged wouldn't be able to understand that, and that's why even for the people that do know, it's inadequate. In Masechta Kedushin, as we just mentioned, the Gemara teaches us Heisha niknas bekasa b'shtar or b'biya. And as we just said, not giving the money or giving the shtar itself is inadequate. You also have to say, when you give over the kesef or you give over the shtar, harayat mekadesh asli, because of zoo. Now the question is, to what degree is there going to be halacha of you dying by kedushin? By rapapiyesh yad l'kedushin oiloi. By kedushin, will we say the concept of yesh yad l'kedushin? So Tosfos asks, why would we think that there should be yad l'kedushin? As we've been learning from the beginning of our Masechta, there's special psukim that teach us that you die and work by Nedarim, that you die and work by Naziris, that you die and work by Shuas. But there is no pasuk by Kedushin that you die are sufficient. So why would we think that Kedushin, your die should be sufficient? So Tosfos answers. The Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Kedushin explains why is getting married called Kedushin? And the Gemara says, because when you marry a woman, it's like Hegdish. Because just like Hegdish, you're designating the woman, the animal that it should be Hegdish. Here too, when you marry a woman, you're designating this woman to be your wife. So says Tosfos, since we see the similarity between your Hegdish, Nedarim, which we keep on saying is a form of Hegdish, and we see the similarity between Hegdish and Kedushin, that's why the Gemara is thinking that if by Nedarim, your Dayim are sufficient, so too here. The Ran has a different approach. The Ran's approach is that once the Gemara has been teaching us that your Dayim are a way of expressing oneself, so the Ran suggests what the Gemara means to ask is, then now we've established that this is a sufficient, adequate, clear way of expressing yourself. Once we've established that it's an adequate, clear way of expressing yourself, so maybe that is the halacha, that wherever one needs to speak, this should be good enough. So the Gemara wants to understand, hey chidomi, exactly what is the case, by Kedushin that we're asking about? Ilam damale isha, where he said to a woman, Harayat Mekadesh Asli, Vamal Chaverta, then there's someone, and he gave this woman two prutas, because we know that the halacha is that the minimum amount to affect the Kedushin is a pruta. So you have to have, if you're being Mekadesh two wives, you have to have two prutas. So he gave the first woman two prutas. He said to her, Harayat Mekadesh Asli, and the other woman is standing there, and he said to her, V'at Nami. Says the Mapshita, that that's a valid way of expressing Kedushin. Haina Kedushin Atzman. That's certainly an adequate way of expressing a Kedushin. And it won't even, and therefore the Gemara's question is that it should not be considered a Yad. It should be considered a clear way of accepting the Kedushin. And I saw the Rav Chaim Briska says, certainly, he must have spoken to this other woman, a baguette, married to him. So why don't we take that into consideration? Says the Gemara, says Rav Chaim, and it's a vart that we said earlier in the shir. Certainly, we take the circumstances that are going on into consideration. But what are we speaking about here? It could well be, says Rav Chaim Brisker, that if you're speaking to a woman about getting married, and then you give her money, maybe, it's an interesting question, even if you didn't say anything, it would be a valid Kedushin. Why? Because it's clear that you're not interested in speaking, that talking and articulating yourself is not part of this Kedushin. But here, the person did say it. When the person says it, we keep on saying the same word. That if you're going to speak, you have to say it the right way. Maybe this is not, and the question is, what is clear enough? So says the Gemara, the case that the Gemara just described is certainly clear enough. Ella, what must be the case that we're asking about? And he didn't say the word Nami. Do we define that that's certainly what he meant? Or the tafsibah kedusha l'chaverta, and therefore she too will be married to him. Or Dilma, v'at chazoi. What he meant to say is, you stand here and observe how I am being Mekadosh the first woman. But it's not that he was being Mekadosh her. And it would not be considered. And the Miri points out, even though Ve'at Chazoi is a far-fetched way of explaining that's what he meant, why is it? What's to make a difference if this woman is observing the Kedusha with the first woman? It doesn't make a difference. If you hold that you need to have clarity, once you have another way of explaining what he meant, it's lacking the clarity. There's also discussion here in the Rishonim. What about the money? Isn't the money going to be a proof that it meant the Kedushin? And that's why some Rishonim say that since he didn't give the second woman the money directly, it's only given to the first woman. That isn't going to be something that we could rely on. And then there's another question, which is also quite important. Why don't we ask her? Why don't we ask this man? Why don't we ask this woman, what did you mean? What did you understand the va'at to mean? And if they both say, well, we understood the va'at to mean that we want to get married, so why isn't that going to be good enough? So the Rishonim say, and we've spoken about this as well, that you can't, if the wording is not good enough, to rely on them explaining what they meant is not going to be enough. Ask the Gemara, did Rav Papa actually have such a question, if there's Yad to Kedushin or not? From the Gemara, it seems in Masech to Kedushin that we quoted earlier, it seems clear that he holds that there's Yad, the answer to that question, because we learned that when Shmuel said, if somebody gives money to a woman, and he says, Arei et Mekudeshes, that even though he didn't say the word Li, the halacha is that it's not a good Kedushin. And the question is, it's Yadayim Shein HaMechichas. So we see the Rav Papa clearly holds that Yadayim, V'amidam alei Rav Papa l'abaya, Mi sov Shmuel Yadayim Shein HaMechichas av Yadayim, that he was discussing, is that a sufficient yad? It's obvious that Mechlal the Sri Lerapapa, the Yeshad the Kedushin. He was only questioning, what is the halacha of Yadayim Shein HaMechichas? But if it was a Yadayim Mechichas, he wouldn't have any question. So we see that he clearly holds that a Yadayim is an adequate way of making Kedushin. Says the Gemara, that's not what Rav Papa meant to ask there in Masechta Kedushin. What Rav Papa meant to ask was, Rav Papa was asking Abaya two questions. He was asking, the way he was asking was that he was asking a steer in Shmuel, that by Nedarim, we know that Shmuel holds Yadayim Shein HaMechichas Lo Yehav Yadayim, and now he wants to know what his opinion is by Kedushin. Are Yadayis going to be an adequate way of making Kedushin? And if they are, what kind of a Yad do you need to have? Does it have to be Yadayim Kedushin? Does it have to be Yadayim Mechichas, or will Yadayim Shein HaMechichas also be acceptable? The Nidri Zruzim says the Bezman Azeh, that we don't marry two women because of the Cherem Reinu Gershim, says there's no question if such a story happened where he gave the first woman, even if he gave the first woman enough money for both wives, and then he said Va'at, she wouldn't be Mekudeshes, even though we just quoted the Meiri as saying that Va'at Chazoi, you stand here and observe, is not really something that makes any sense. But since getting married to two women makes even less sense, we're going to have no other way of explaining what he meant in the statement of Va'at. And what's going to be, according to this, if the Kedushin is not Chal, so the Achroidim say, that'll mean that he's being Mekadosh the first woman, not with one Pruta, she's being Mekadosh the woman with two Prutas. And that's how we're going to have to explain with this entire story. And that, says the Har Tzvi, will the man have a right to say, well, give me back one of the prutas? We know that the Torah speaks about matnas aniyim, that a person who has a field has to give certain portions of the field to aniyim. And one of the portions that has to give is the peya, a corner. As the Torah HaKadosh says, lo yischala pas satcha b'kutzrecha. Midaraisa, there is no shir to peya. And even if somebody gave the most minimal amount, that would be sufficient. But Chazal established that the shir peya is a minimum of a 60th. By Rapapa, so now Rapapa asks the question, yesh yad l'peya or ein yad l'peya? And here there's two ways how to understand the Gemara. Many Rishonim explain this Gemara, that this Gemara is not connected to the previous Gemara. Rapapa is talking about different areas of halacha and trying to decide, will Yad be effective or not? The Rajpa, however, says that this Gemara, the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. That once we discussed Ish Yesh, if there's Yad L'Kedushin, and even if we're paskin that there is Ein Yad L'Kedushin, maybe Bepeya there is. Because Peya is much more similar, going back to Svar that we said earlier, Peya is much more similar to Kabonis. It's something that you're giving as a tzedakah type of a, I don't want to use the word tzedakah because that's going to be the next Gemara, but it's some sort of a donation. And therefore, even if we'll say by Kedushin, says the Rajba, says Rapapa, that Ein Yad Kedushin, maybe by Peya Yesh like Kedushin, Yesh Yad. By Rapapa, Yesh Yad L'Peya or Ein Yad L'Peya. Says the Mahechid, I mean, let's again get the story. We took one row, and he said, this row should be the payer. And then he said, Vadein Nami. And then he said, to the next row, it should also be payer. Says the Gemara, why would that be a question? Hahi payer ma'al yasahi. It's a full-fledged designation of payer. And Tosfos explains, why is a row called an Ugya? Because they used to have like a ditch. So Ugya is a hole, it's a ditch. Says the Gemara, that's not the question that Rapapa posed. Kikam and Boile, what was Rapapa's question? Where somebody said, Kigoyin the Omar, on the first row, he said he had the first row, and then on the second row, he used the word Vadein. And he did not say Veloy Omar Nami. He did not say on the second row also the word Nami. My, what is the halacha? Do we say, if we say that there's Yad by Peya, it would be clearly an indication that he meant that both rows should be Peya. But if there's no Yad Bepeya, it would be insufficient. But says the Gemara, it's obvious, and this is the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara. The Gemara, there's, as we said a few moments ago, there is a shear how much you have to give Peya. So obviously, the first row that he designated must have had the amount of Peya that he has to give. Because if the first row did not have all the pay that he had to give, then it's clear that he means with this second row that this second row should be payer because he needs to give the amount that he's obligated to give. Obviously, what it meant here is that the first row is payer and that is sufficient. He has fulfilled his obligation and now he wants to give more. And this is a question that the Gemara now is going to be discussing. The question is, can somebody give more payer than he's obligated to give? And from here it seems that the Gemara's only discussion is if this is a proper declaration of payer. But there is no question that you could give more payer than you're obligated to give. Because if you couldn't, then we wouldn't have this obligation. And I saw the Micha Shloima explains. There's a question whenever you have to give payer or you have to give truma or you have to give maisa, how do we look at that obligation? A very interesting question. Do we look at that obligation as to be masakin shirayim? That means here we have a warehouse full of produce. I want to be able to eat that produce. I want to be able to sell that produce. In order to be able to eat or sell that produce, I have to take off Matnas Kahuna, and the way we take off Matnas Kahuna is by designating Peya, if that or Truma or Meiser. So if the entire purpose is lesakin hashirayim, to make what everything else will be edible, so then you only can take what you need, and you can't take more. Because once you took as much as you're obligated to take, you've been mesakin that this produce is now edible or sellable. Or is the chiv a separate chiv? The Torah wants you to give this payah to the aniyim. If you want to give more than the Torah wants you to give, fine. And that's the Gemara's, from here it seems, says the Gemara, that you can give more payah than you're obligated to give. And says the Gemara, indeed that's the halacha. Vatanya, the Gemara brings a brisa that says it. That if somebody wants to make his whole fee payah, he may do so. Tamaloimer pas sotcha. And the Torah doesn't say payah sheb sotcha. The Torah uses the words pas sotcha to teach us that you could teach us that you could make the whole field into payah. So now that we've established this, now the Gemara explains what is the question by payah. What was Rav Papa's question? Mimri and kima diskus le kabonis. Since we see payers compared to kabonis, and maybe had kabonis, we've been learning yeshlam yad. I pay yeshlam yad. Adulma ki iskish. When did the Torah connect them regarding the halacha about the achu iskish, not to any anything else? So I saw that the Rishonim ask that we know ain hekish lemachtza, that when the Torah connects two halachas, they're connected completely. So why would we have a question if the hekesh between payin and kabonis is only somewhat of a hekesh, not a complete hekesh? So the Rashba, in answering that question, says that if it would a hekesh is when the Torah puts two subjects next to each other. Here the Torah didn't put two subjects next to each other. Here what the Torah did is the Torah learns it from the wording of the pasuk. So it's not a hekesh, and we don't have a question of hein hekesh l'machzah. But I saw that the Ran and the Meiri and the Rosh have a different teretz. There are clearly areas in halacha where payah and kabonis are not the same. So since we clearly know that there are places where they're not the same, the question is, what is the halacha regarding yad? Is yad one of those places where payah and kabonis are the same? Or is yad one of those places where payah and kabonis are not the same? So ask the Gemara, where do we find that pay and kabonis are connected? The Tanya, the Torah says, Kisida nedel Hashem l'kecha, l'sach l'shalmai, kidarish yudushen Hashem l'kechem imach v'ayi b'cheit. And we learn from the word me'imach, it's a lekesh shikha peya, that there's a din of baal ta'achar by lekesh shikha peya as well. And this is exactly what the Rashba said. The Torah doesn't say pay and kabonis are the same. The Torah takes the word me'imach and says that the halacha about ta'ach, which applies by kabonis, should apply by peyah. So that's why the Rashba says it's not a hekesh. And even if it is a hekesh, as I said, since there are clearly areas where the two subjects are not connected, the Gemara's question is, what is going to be the halacha regarding yodis? Are they connected or not?